If a visitor, contractor, or even an employee were to attempt to purposely contaminate your food product, would you be prepared to detect and prevent it? Welcome to TAG Talks, TAG's bi-monthly discussion on current and critical topics in the food industry. Today, I, your host, Lisa Lupo, am talking with TAG Director of Food Safety, Christopher Stamps, about the intentional adulteration of food and FDA's plan to upgrade its food defense quick check inspections to full comprehensive food defense inspections in 2024. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you, Lisa. Happy to be here.
So let's start off talking about the food defense quick checks that FDA has conducted since 2020. What are the required elements that FDA expected to see when they had these?
That's a great question. So the quick checks were established to see how well the industry is ready to adapt to this new rule. This is a brand new rule. It's a whole new rule of thought. And so the agency wants to make sure that the food facilities understand what they need. So they started with what they call a quick check. And a quick check was where an FDA investigator would come to your facility and ask you a series of questions after or at the end of, for whatever other reason they were there. They could have been there for a GMP inspection, a PC inspection, seafood HACCP inspection. Then he'd sit down with you and they'd go through basically the rule step by step, parts 121.126. And that is the core of the rule. And they would ask you and make sure you understood and have written your five main points. Have you identified an actual process step using any one of the three types of vulnerability assessments? Then, if you have you identified any mitigation strategies for those actual process steps? Have you established monitoring and implementation? Have you implemented those steps? Have you established a corrective action in case any of them fail? What's your plans to do to correct them? And of course, verifying everything. And there's a couple of little things that they would look for. Have you signed and dated the food defense vulnerability plan? Have you documented the training, required training for those who work in actual process step and their immediate supervisor, et cetera? That is what the original intent was of the quick checks. And they've conducted roughly 1,300 of them. And what they found was about 200 of those 1,300 didn't qualify, meaning they didn't have a large enough business to qualify for the rule. You have to have a minimum of $10 million of food produced and in storage or on the market per year. This adjusted for inflation. So right now it's roughly about $11.2 million. Of those that did qualify, they found that roughly 70% used the key activity type method to conduct the vulnerability assessment. The agency thought that was actually kind of high, but they even reiterated it's completely acceptable. It's a valid way to do your initial vulnerability assessment.
So with the comprehensive inspections coming in this year, what will change? What will now be expected?
Well, quite a different few different items. Again, they're going to make sure you have all those 5 points that I just mentioned. But they're going to make sure that it's adequate, it's appropriate, and that it's implemented. So how are they going to do that? They're going to use a new approach where they will come to your facility and they'll base your facility on a matrix as those that are what they determine to be the most important for food defense. They're not going to release how they achieve that matrix. We'll never know what they do. But what they will do is they'll come for, say, you have a scheduled preventive controls inspection. At the same time, then they'll also add in an intentional adulteration inspection. In order to do that, they will issue two 482s. That's a notice of inspection. So they will conduct a food safety inspection first, and then they'll conduct a food defense intentional adulteration inspection. The people who will be doing this are going to be extraordinarily highly trained. They'll be experts in the preventive control rule to begin with. They'll have specialized training in food defense and intentional adulteration. And they'll also be trained in all the other aspects of FDA-regulated food that normally people don't think about under FSMA. Seafood HACCP, infant formula rule, bottled water rule, low acetone food rule. Those types of facilities are also regulated by this rule. So they want to make sure you've actually written your food defense plan, you've implemented it, you're verifying it's working, and they're adequate. So they'll do paper inspection, review your records, and then they're going to go on the floor. When they go on the floor, there is a new, not a new, but a different way of making sure that it's adequate. If the consumer safety officer, CSO, comes in and he has a question about how you've implemented, say, a mitigation strategy, a particular actionable process step, and they want some guidance on it to make sure it's adequate, they'll call SIFSFAN right on the spot and get live interaction to determine whether or not it's adequate. As far as taking photographs, this has come up in some of the discussions that the FDA has put out. In regards to food defense and intentional adulteration, photographs are going to be exceedingly rare, very, very rare. They want to make sure that if there's a food defense implementation that's questionable, they want some guidance, that the consumer safety officer first discuss it over the phone in real time, and if they have to, we'll form a video chat so they can show up. It will not be recorded. Security of your food defense plan is paramount to the FDA, and so they are taking extraordinary steps to make sure that everything is protected, and only those who have access to that material can have access. The other thing is going to be different. When they come and do your 242s, one for food safety, or it could be for GMPs, it could be for juice HACCP, for example, they'll go through that inspection, they'll do a verbal closeout, and then they'll open the second inspection for the food defense. Some consumer officers might want to flip it around. It's their choice. At the end of the food defense intentional adulteration inspection, if there are any findings, they'll issue a 483 as well. That 483 is going to be generic. And it's going to say, you are not following, or you need to follow part 121.126. And that's all it's going to say. And that's because that gets to be public.
Mm-hmm.
The actual findings that are pertinent, where there is a deficiency, will be sent to the food manufacturer directly as an appendix that will not be published. The same will be held true if it goes to the next step of a warning letter. If, say, a warning letter is issued because you're not following 121.126, and then an appendix will be sent to that manufacturer detailing the specifics. And those are the differences.
Yeah, that's a pretty big difference, and pretty important to be protecting the security of these facilities, as you said. So are there any other particular aspects of the rule or those FDA inspections which you would want our viewers to be aware?
Well, as I said, this covers all aspects of FDA-regulated food, foreign as well as domestic. So foreign facilities, if you're a U.S. manufacturer and you have a foreign facility and it exports to the U.S., it falls underneath this rule. The food defense plans are site-specific. You cannot have a corporate food defense plan. You can have a corporate SOP that says your sites need a food defense plan. That's completely acceptable. But they are written site-specific. So if you have three factories and they're a block apart, all three need a separate plan. The other items that is a little bit different with this rule is regarding to farms. Farms were explicitly exempt from the intentional adulteration rule, except dairy farms. Currently, the agency is going through how they're going to assess dairy farms, how to implement dairy farms, and what the protocol is going to be, how to explain that to the dairy farmers. They're working with the Interstate Shipping, Milk Shipping Organization to work up those logistics. And an overarching principle as they're doing these comprehensive inspections, no matter what the facility is going to be educate while they regulate. That's going to be the mantra they're going to have for intentional adulteration. Food safety, they're going to be there at the same time. That's going to be full-blown regulation. So if you have a violation, you'll be written up and be filed under 43. So those are, in a nutshell, that's how this new rule is going to be implemented. It's still under discussion. They plan on implementing the first official comprehensive inspections at the end of the summer of 2024. In the summer, maybe September, or sometime in that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the current organizational that they're going to have it. Initially, they're going to have 5 CSOs and 1 immediate supervisor. As the program grows, they intend to hire anywhere between 12 and 15 CSOs. Currently, it's all internal applicants within the FDA. They had 43 people apply for the 5 positions. And their intent is to go on a 3-year rotational cycle, just like we do with food safety. Facilities supposed to be inspected every 3 years for food safety. The same thing will hold true for intentional adulteration inspections.
Well, that's wonderful, Chris. That's a really a lot of insights into what can be a rather complex rule. Yes. And for our viewers, as you can tell, Chris and other TAG folks have extensive expertise in this area. So if you need any help preparing and ensuring that you're ready, if FDA comes knocking at your door, give us a call. We can help. And thank you for viewing. If you haven't already done so, be sure to click subscribe and the alert bell to stay up to date on all things food safety and public health from the TAG experts. Thank you again, Chris.
Thank you, Lisa. And thank you, everybody, for listening.